Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
All right, that's the sound of rock cracking, and we're going to crack some rock today right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and let's hear some more rock cracking. That's the sound of rock cracking, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of rock cracking and things falling in politics, and it's not all happening on the Democratic side. We've got some things going on the Republican side, and we're going to talk about that in today's show. And let me tell you about last week. If you didn't listen, go back and listen to Jonathan Cahn, best-selling author. He wrote The Harbinger, and we're going to do a second part of his interview on today's show. Before we get to that, we got the election news update, and you've got to hear that because there's so much going on. And then also at the end of the show, don't forget this week's Tombstone of the Week award, and it goes for something said that was so stupid. So we're going to talk to you about that, and got so much in today's show. As we're taping this show, there is a hurricane, and it could be on track to go to Florida. So as this show is airing, I don't know if they're going to have the Republican National Convention or not. Hope things go as planned. But there's one thing that everybody needs to know. Romney and Ryan have got to rock this country like a hurricane, where people know that they stand on the truth. They stand on what this country needs. And they need to rock this country like a hurricane. And folks, that's what Romney and Ryan have got to do. They got to rock this country, shake the trees everywhere around the country, and make sure everyone knows what they stand for, that they are going to take care of this country. They're going to work on getting the national debt down. They're going to get the deficit down. They're going to get the economy going gangbusters. And they're going to take care of Medicare for the people who's been promised to, and for everybody else that's young, that's paying into the system. They're going to let them know there'll be something for them if they'll get on board and take this country to the place it needs to be, with an economic engine unparalleled anywhere in the world or the history of the world. And that's what Romney Ryan plans. And that's the word they got to get out at the convention. They need to get those things in to place where the world can understand what they're doing, and in the nation of the United States, every citizen needs to understand this is the team that's going to bring our country back stronger and better than ever. Romney Ryan, and that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Because on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you'll hear things you won't hear anywhere else, just like this. Let me tell you, imagine just right now, just close your eyes and imagine. If you're driving, you better keep driving. But think about Joe Biden dressed in leather, surrounded by all his cronies, his old Senate pals, Senator Boxer, Schumer, Senator Feinstein, just surrounded by all these far-left liberals, Harry Reid, and imagine, oh, just throw in Barney Frank also, and some of these Nancy Pelosi, and just imagine everybody, all the Democratic all-stars, and they're getting together to tell President Obama where they're going, and President Obama cheering them on as they tell America where this country is headed. Listen.
Well, they may not be that blatant at Charlotte, but I'm telling you, if we get this bunch reelected and the Democrats have control of the White House and the Senate again, we're on our highway to hell, and America has got to turn around. And I'm sorry. I just have to tell you what it is. We have no way to escape Obamacare except to charge up the Missionary Ridge, like I told you last week, with Paul Ryan leading the way. We've got to charge up Missionary Ridge and make sure we overtake these liberals, these far-left socialists who have instilled Obamacare. They've planted the seeds, and if we don't rip it out of the ground November 6th, then I've just told you, that's the theme song of where America's headed. Now, let's get into the election news update. Folks, the Democratic National Convention will be in Charlotte next week. This week, what's going on? I can't tell you because a hurricane was on its way to Florida when I had to record this show. So hopefully the Republican National Convention is going on this week in Tampa, Florida. But let's talk about what's so important of this convention. Number one, Mitt Romney has to be nominated. Presumptive nominee, and Paul Ryan, the vice presidential presumptive nominee. So they have to be nominated. But it's very important that their message gets across. Very important. And that is why in this election news update, I'm going to tell you what we've been doing is following the polls. I'm not someone that puts all my faith in the polls, but you got to have a pulse. You got to feel the pulse of what seems to be going on in America. And I've told you about the polls right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, how they've been manipulated, and I think they're trying to prop up President Obama. And you can see that tearing away of what is really going on out there. NBC Wall Street Journal had a poll, and they came out and said that basically what the poll was to say Paul Ryan had not helped Romney any at all, or maybe just a tiny bit. And it was just not much help at all with Paul Ryan's pick. and they fashioned these questions so they can write this article to try to dampen the spirit that's going on about Paul Ryan in the Republican conservative circles and in the independent circles. They like Paul Ryan. He's put the Midwest in play. Wisconsin, one of the polls has Romney pulling ahead in Wisconsin, moving close in Michigan. I'm telling you, Iowa pulling ahead, and I'm telling you, the NBC had this article that Ryan had little effect on Romney. And I'm just telling you, these polls can be so manipulated, and this is my prediction, Doc Holliday's prediction, hurricanes and a Republican National Convention, all these things can change. But I have to tell you that I believe Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, the team is on the move. They're getting more and more people at their rallies, and Obama's not getting a big turnout like he did. He can't believe it. But I'm telling you, there is an excitement in America with this Romney-Ryan team, and if they can put together an effective communication in the Republican National Convention, they should move ahead in the polls, even the manipulated polls. There will always be polls showing Obama ahead because they'll have to feed the perception that Obama's in charge of this election. But he's losing ground because they're waking up to the fact of all these failures. We cannot afford four more years of failures in America. Socialism does not work. I'm talking to you, and you know that. And I'm not telling anything you don't know, but I'm saying the polls will start turning toward Romney, Ryan, and the thing that the Democrats are hurting so bad on is they feel like the Republicans will get a surge, and then they'll get their surge, the Democratic surge at Charlotte. I'm predicting that if Romney and Ryan can surge ahead, they will stay ahead, and there'll be all kind of tricks being played. And I can't tell you there won't be a tricky trick that won't put Obama back on top. But I believe November 6th is coming, and people like you and me are doing all we can every day. We're going to keep at it till November 6th. And if you and me and the team of the conservatives, people who have vision of what America can be, while all working together, we're going to get this nation turned around. So the polling is very important to watch, but don't get lost in it, because it is being manipulated. But even the manipulation, I believe, is going to show Romney and Ryan moving ahead very soon. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, a good story, and this does have an impact on this election. And the thing is, it's a good story. I'm going to give you some positive news where Democrats, Republicans, private sector, unions, everybody got together and found a solution. So what does it mean for the election? Well, things can get done. You go to there, a great supply of a refinery bringing gas supplies to the Northeast. It comes through Philadelphia refinery in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But last fall, there was a company that said they're going to sell it. They're going to shut it down. But what happened? In a nutshell, this is an article by Keith Schaefer, but he explains it very well. But the Republican governor of Pennsylvania, mayor of Philadelphia, and working with the administration in the White House, because they knew that it would be bad for 850 jobs to be lost with the refinery shut down. And they knew the White House would be on top of that. Or at least they were hoping. And sure enough, the unions came together, the union, the White House, and the Republican governor of Pennsylvania, and they got some deals put together. But you know what made it happen? A private equity firm. You hear President Obama just blaming Bain Capital. People like Bain Capital is the worst kind of leeches on society. But yet, the reason there's not going to be a gasoline spike with a refinery shutting down right before the election is because of what started happening about a year ago when a private company, a private equity company called Carlyle, came in to buy and work to buy this refinery that they were going to shut down in Philadelphia. And it was private equity firm, much like Bain Capital. And Obama has just detested it and said it was the epitome of what's wrong with the free markets, I guess. And yet, it might save his skin. I hope it doesn't save the election for him. But I'm telling you, solutions can work together when there's pressure with the election coming on. And I'm glad that the Democrats and Republicans and the administration with the EPA and all these groups came together to get something done, and using a private equity company, Carlyle, that put it together. So the president, for all his lambasting of Bain Capital, it was very important for many of his constituents, for a state that's important to him, to use a private equity firm. I think that's election news. You're not going to hear anywhere else. You hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Very important for you to know that solutions happen, and it needed a private equity firm working along with the government for assurances and the unions. It got the job done, and I think that's the way America's supposed to work. I wish it worked like that more often. So if anybody wants to look at that article, I'll put a link to it on the show, and it's a very good article. What can work? Here we are in election year, and everybody nobody wants to lose any more jobs. So that's good for the Northeast. It's good for the country. Good for Pennsylvania. I hope people in Pennsylvania know that it was a Republican and a private equity firm that really made it happen. Okay, the election news update. And everybody's saying, what is going on in Missouri in a Senate race? I'm going to cover that in our Tombstone of the Week award at the end. I have not forgot about it. You know it has been disaster for the Republican Senate candidate in the state of Missouri. And We're going to talk about that in the Tombstone of the Week Award. So that'll be coming up at the end of the show. Right now, before we get into the second part of our guest, Jonathan Kahn, the second part of the interview that we started last week, I want to remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I want to remind you that you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. They got some great shows. Go there. Check out the other shows, but make sure you always listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And talking about that, I want to remind you there is a new page on my website. You can go there at getobamaoutnow.com. You can order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, but there's a new web page that on my website. They got the pages at the top. There's the columns going across, and you'll see Poems to Save America. And I got some poems. I'm going to add some to it, but Poems to Save America is about this election. You ought to read them and share them. They're not, as far as copyrighted, they are up there to be shared, as long as you give me recognition of writing it, then share it all you want. Let them go all across the country and tell everybody on Facebook and everywhere else, get these poems out and let's get this election won. And once again, we're glad to have you right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. There are some new listeners and we're glad you're here. You need to make sure you make us a favorite and come to us every week, because you're going to find out things just like I told you about. The refinery in Philadelphia not being shut down because people working together. And private equity firms, as much as President Obama has cursed them, he used them to save jobs. He used a private equity firm named Carlyle. So Bain Capital may not have been all that bad, Mr. Obama. You need to look into what happens with free enterprise and free markets, and people can actually go in and save jobs with private equity firms. We need them in this country. We need them to make sure America stays independent and free. Now, I want to get to this week's interview with Jonathan Kahn. If you didn't listen to last week's show, you need to go back and listen to it. Jonathan Kahn has written a book. Actually, never had written a book before. But he put together a book that's a rage in many circles across the country in many different communities. And there is a little controversy with the book as far as some people in different circles say this and that. But we're talking directly to the author. And it's a New York Times bestseller. And right here, once again, at the end of the show last week in the interview, Jonathan Kahn was telling us about the key to the harbingers. The harbingers are different sections of the book that are like warning signs. And he's telling us about the key to the warning signs that are in his book that are absolutely real, things that actually happened and are happening in America, that happened also to ancient Israel, and it's detailed in the Old Testament. But the exact same things are happening in America. And Jonathan Kahn takes the truth of what's happening and the exact words spoken by different people and from the White House, Capitol Hill, and the exact words that can be found in the Old Testament. And last week when we left off with Jonathan Kahn, like I said, go back and listen to last week's interview, but he was telling us about a key to these harbingers and why it's important to us right now in America today. So let's join Jonathan Kahn as he's telling about the keys to the harbinger.
And then the vow, they said, the bricks have fallen in this attack, but we will rebuild with quarried stone. The sycamore trees have been cut down in the attack, but we will plant cedars in their place. What they're saying is that, God, we're not going to come back to you. We're gonna defy you. We're going to go away from you. And then all these harbingers start appearing. Same thing with 9/11. After 9/11, listen, you know, I mean, it almost looked like America was going to turn back to God, but there was no change of course. There was no repentance. There's no changing, and so therefore there can be no change of destiny. And all these harbingers, you know, and we could just I'll just touch very briefly on them. All these signs start appearing in America. For example, the one harbinger is called the Stone of Judgment, and that's mentioned in Isaiah, that we will rebuild with these quarried stones. Well, what happened in Israel is this quarried stone, they brought it back to where the destruction happened in the attack, and they said that we're going to build back stronger. It's our stone of defense. defiance against God. Well, what happened in America is after 9/11, people in New York, they went up to a mountain, quarried out a mountain rock. It's a biblical stone that, I mean, it matches that in Isaiah, and they brought it back to ground zero. They lowered it down the pavement.
It's actually happened.
They have a ceremony around the stone. They have the leaders, they have the mayor of New York, the governor, and they make vows of defiance over the stone. They're reenacting what happened in the last days of Israel.
And what you're saying is not something fictional. You're talking about the real mayor, the real governor,
reality.
They cut the real stone out of New York stone.
Yeah, Mount Rock.
And brought it back to New York City and had a ceremony.
They had a ceremony. Yeah, and they actually, you know, and when you read it's eerie because you read the commentaries with the Bible commentaries on what ancient Israel did in Isaiah, and it says they did this in the spirit of defiance. Well, the governor of New York is over the stone that day in that ceremony. He says, "We're doing this in the spirit of defiance." So it's exact
words. Now, tell our listeners that what fascinated me. You think, we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. How do you know that? Well, tell a little bit about, there's a church that was at Ground Zero, near Ground Zero, and it was...
Oh, you want that mystery, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
you want to unwrap a little of that without giving our listeners too much.
Sure. Amazing, yeah. Here's the thing, in a nutshell. There's a principle that in ancient Israel, when calamity came, when God was giving a warning sign or a judgment sign to Israel, the destruction came to the same ground where Israel was dedicated to God, on the same dedication ground, which was the Temple Mount. And so here is America. Could there be something that actually is a mystery in America that matches up with that? Well, on the first day of America as a nation, which was actually April 30, 1789, when we had a president, we had the full government as we know it today, Washington was sworn in the capital city. He gives a prophetic warning that we won't get into, but it's in the Harbinger, about what's going to happen if America turns away from God. He gives that warning. Then the entire government of America, the first government, on the first day, what they do, the first act, which is not to pass a bill, it's to pray. And they go, they walk to a specific site, and they dedicate America to God before at that site and in the capital city. So where is it? Because we find this out, we've got a mystery. Well, where is it? It was the capital city. It wasn't Washington, D.C. The first capital of America was New York City. Where did they go? They went to Lower Manhattan. Where specifically? They went to the corner of... They went to Ground Zero. America was consecrated to God at Ground Zero.
Wow.
The ancient principle, the calamity, returns to the ground of dedication. It's amazing, but it's true.
Wow. And so Washington and the full House of Representatives, which was smaller, of course, then, and the full U.S. Senate,
first
official act was to go and pray and dedicate our nation to God.
Absolutely. Doc, it's actually recorded in the congressional records that this was part of the first of this congressional annals of Congress. They did that, and the thing is, Doc, is that on that same ground of, you know, that it was at St. Paul's Chapel, which is right at the corner of Ground Zero, and actually Ground Zero was owned by that church, but the thing is that, and the thing is that on that ground is where the Harbingers appeared. There's one we didn't talk about, the sign of the sycamore. It was on that same, the dedication ground of America. It was struck down. The sycamores have fallen. That's Isaiah. Happened right there. So all these things happen at the same plot of earth. And on that same day, on 9/11, when it was struck, a shockwave goes forth from Ground Zero, and it strikes another place. And where it strikes is Federal Hall, the place where Washington was sworn in and where he gave that prophetic warning of what's going to happen if we turn away from God. And it cracks the foundation of America. And and yet all around Ground Zero, all the buildings are destroyed or ruined except one. One is protected. And the only one that's protected,
he
called it the Miracle of Miracle 9/11, is St. Paul's Chapel, where America was dedicated to God. And the reason they said it was protected is there was an object that absorbed the force of 9/11, and the object was the Harbinger. It was the sycamore. So it acts all this stuff in the book Harbinger, and all the whole message is not to, it's not that America be judged, it's that America be saved.
Wow. Well, I want our listeners to hear that part, and I want them to go out and get the book and read it. One of the things you talked about, and I won't talk about that in the book, but the 70 years, and now my listeners know,
oh, yeah.
I talk about I've got a book out, and I talk about the 70-year itch in American politics because ever since the founding, talking back to 1789, since the Constitution went into place, about every 70 years, there's a major catastrophic happening in politics. The first one was the Civil War. Now, it's not to the very day like you have in your book that what's happened, but generally, every 70 years, the first one was the Civil War, changed politics unbelievably. And then the next 70 years, the middle of the Great Depression.
And of course, we had World War II.
And all of a sudden, we got a huge change in politics. Progressives took full control of FDR. And now we're at another 70 years. I call it the third 70-year itch. Could it be this year? And can we swing this country back around? And that's why I want to ask you what the 70 years means.
Yeah. Let me throw that in. Yeah. Think about that. Israel was taken into captivity for 70 years, if you remember.
Right.
And the reason it was in 70 years, the Bible says, is because every one of those 70 years stood for a Sabbath year that the nation did not observe or rest. Every 7 years was a Sabbath year. And so they didn't do this. And on it was called the Shemitah. In the Harbinger, it's called the Mystery of the Shemitah. It's a Hebrew word saying that they had a rest for that seventh year. And all the economy rested. On the last day of this Sabbath year, all debt and credit was wiped away. And it was supposed to be a blessing, you know, but it became a judgment because when they turned away from God, this thing came back at them as a judgment. So what does it have to do with America? Well, the Shemitah or the Sabbath year becomes a sign of when a nation turns away from God, it puts idols or money ahead of God, and it drives them out of its life. And this sign comes back as a sign that strikes the financial realm of the nation. Well, what does it have to do with it? The mystery here is the 7-year cycle. Well, the first shaking of America was 9/11. The second shaking was the collapse of the economy. When did it happen? It happened, 9/11 is, of course, 2001. The economy collapses 2008, 7-year cycle. What month did it happen in? It happened in September 2008, economy collapses. That's 7 years to the month. When? The second week of September, 7 years to the week. In fact, when America was celebrating commemorating the 7-year anniversary of 9/11, on the same day, the economic collapse was being set up on Wall Street. And it goes even more, because what was the greatest day of the crash? It was the greatest crash in American history. Happened the end of September 2008. When did it take place? The greatest crash in American history took place on the biblical day of the Shemitah, when all debts have to be wiped out. And so all the financial realm is wiped away. And if you go back 7 years, it's a 7-year mystery. Go back 7 years, you get 2001 September, and you have the other greatest crash in American history up to that date. And when did that take place? It took place on the exact same biblical Hebrew day of the Shemitah to wipe the financial accounts away. And the two greatest crashes up to those days, both happened exactly 7 biblical years to the day, to the hours. I mean, it's mind-boggling, but it's true and it's real.
And it's in your book, and I know our time's running short, so I want to ask you, we can look backwards in a rearview mirror, and that's what you've done in your book, but help me look forward. Is there any hope for America?
Yeah, looking forward is this. Listen, people say to me, is it going to be revival or judgment? The answer is there can be both. Sometimes only through calamity does revival come. The ultimate thing is, if America keeps heading the way it is on this way, we are in deep trouble. We are progressing. The biblical pattern, the Harbinger, says what happened in ancient Israel. That means we are progressing to judgment. That means we will lose our crown as the head of nations. We will lose our blessings, and it goes through the whole thing, the scenarios in the Harbinger. But if there is repentance, if there is revival, if there is a turnaround, there is hope. So there is hope, yes. But you know, it comes back to a scripture where it says, if my people, God says, if my people will turn to me and will come and will pray and will turn away from, well, that's when it can happen. So yes, there's hope. I believe, Doc, is that if there was no hope, I don't believe there would be a book called The Harbinger. I don't believe it would come out now, because, you know, I don't believe it would become a bestseller. So I believe this is all part of it. So here is the call, and that's why I think it became a bestseller, because people have been stocking up and giving it to their, you know, to their loved ones. So I think that is all part of it. I believe there's hope. However, does it look likely right now? No. But is it possible? Yes.
Well, I appreciate you bringing all that out. I know my listeners are going to want to go out and get that book. And
yeah,
and
you know,
I'll
just
tell you this:
they can get it. I mean, just they can you can get it. The Harbinger you can get anywhere from Amazon to Walmart to anywhere. And the other thing, doctors, one thing is that they, I don't know if you know, they put together, WorldNet Daily, they put together a documentary. It's called the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment. And it's very, very powerful. We didn't do it, but it's what's in the Harbinger, but it's in two DVDs. It's on, in fact, it's the number one faith video in America right now, and it's on Amazon. So that's called the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment. It's linked to the Harbinger, the book.
And when I went out to get the book, one store sold out, another store was down to two copies left. So I was going
that's a good sign, Doc.
Well, I know you're a bestseller, and appreciate you coming on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Great to be with you, Doc.
And that was Jonathan Kahn, best-selling author, New York Times bestseller. And go out and get you a copy of The Harbinger. We're glad that Jonathan Kahn took time to come to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics and speak with you. And some of you are asking, now, why do we have two interviews last week and this week with an author that's done, first-time author, actually? Well, I'm telling you, the book is picking up in some circles. Some of you may have never heard of The Harbinger, but it's selling like hotcakes in different communities. And the reason why, because some people are getting so frustrated and they think this world's just going to get worse and worse. And I know Jonathan Kahn is they call him a messianic rabbi. And so he has Jews and Christians coming to his worship center. And so there in New Jersey, you can check out his website. I know he'd be glad to let you look through what he does. But what I have him on Rock Splitting Politics for is because there is a spiritual thirst out there, a spiritual equivalent that, where does it go to politics? I bring Jonathan on this show to let you know there is a broad field shaping up this election. And that we got a Mormon, we got a Black Liberation Theology president who's, he says he's a Christian, but he's under Jeremiah Wright's direction for 20 years under his under the pulpit. He read or heard all the scripture from Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. So does religion have a place in this election? There is a spiritual nature that humans have. And Jonathan Kahn has written a book that compares ancient scriptures to modern day America. And it's an unbelievable way that he nails things on the head, just like he told you, to the very day, 7 years after 9/11. And so read the book and see if it doesn't cause some hair stand on your head in some places about how it parallels to something that happened over 3,000 years ago. Let me get into what I wanted to tell you about is this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And just before we go to Tombstone of the Week Award, I want to tell you, if you want to get involved in this election and you haven't found anything to do, go to CodeRedUSA.com. CodeRedUSA.com, and you can find some way that you can get connected, or go to Freedom Connector. And in Freedom Connector, you can find ways to get connected, help out this election team. Don't just sit on the couch. Our nation is too valuable. The stakes are too high. You can't sit and watch the news. You got to be doing something. If it's just calling friends, getting on board, whatever you do, it's time to sign up to get some jobs done volunteering. Now, this week's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to Congressman Aiken, Missouri. That's Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate in Missouri. Just won it last week, a couple weeks ago, and then he came out for two words. He gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award for two words: legitimate rape. Horrible words, horrible way of language, talking about some science that he evidently didn't know anything about, and it has gone viral everywhere. Now, what's Doc Holliday's take? There is a double standard in the media. A Republican says something, they just lambast him, tell him to resign. You got what Biden said. I told you last week's Tombstone of the Week Award, where he talked about he's going to put y'all back in chains. Now, that is so horrible. And yet nobody asked the vice president to resign. But this is the deal. We got the big picture and the little picture. The little picture is the Missouri Senate race. And if Aiken wanted to go in there and say, I'm going to fight it out, then that's the little picture. And he could do that. But I'm telling you, there's a big picture. The big picture is this. Get it straight. We got one chance, November 6th, to stop Obamacare in its tracks. We don't have another chance. If it gets going, if it's not stopped on November 6th, it will be ingrained into the American system. It will destroy our free enterprise and everything that we've known. This Obamacare is so massive and so big government detailed. It's got to be stopped. The only way to stop it is to make sure we have a Republican Senate and a White House. There's no other way to stop it. So the big picture is Aiken cannot afford to be the poster boy for the Democrats saying what's wrong and the Republicans' war on women. I'm sorry, but there is principle and there's time. We have got to move if we love this country. And I don't know if he's going to stay in the race. He left some leeway in there. He said he's staying in. But I'm telling you, when things are matching up, he's got to look what's good for the country. The only way Obamacare will be stopped if the Republicans win the Senate and the White House. We cannot afford to lose. The Senate cannot afford to let one person be smeared into every race across the country. I'm sorry. This is Doc Holliday's take on it. The big picture and the little picture. And the little picture could weigh very heavily in Mitt Romney getting enough electoral votes to win this race. Missouri is very important. It is a swing state. Very important for Republicans to take over the Senate. Obamacare cannot be defeated. We can't wait 4 more years. We cannot wait 8 more years. Once it's ingrained, it cannot be undone. You understand that? And that's my take on it. That's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award going to Congressman Aiken. We'll see what happens. But remember, there is a little picture, but much more important is the big picture. Now, next week's show, we're going to dig down into what happened in the Republican National Convention. Talk about the Democratic National Convention. We got a lot on tap. You don't want to miss next week's show. And now, as I'm signing off, let me help you remember the 4 most important words of 2012. Get ObamaOutNow.com. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.